multi-factor authentication. Again, from the identity and access point of view, it's holding a very, very big relevance. So the example which I had quoted you on, if you want to carry out the banking transaction, apart from the password, you are also prompted to enter an OTP. Why do you think so? It is just to ensure that even if your password is compromised, since you must be only carrying your mobile phone, probably you can only get an OTP, and it's an additional authentication which is being asked, and the access is given to you. In fact, yesterday only I was reading a news in the newspaper. What happened was there were a few residents who were every day going for a job. Now, to a certain point, they used to come by car. They used to keep their wallet and their mobile phone in the car, and they used to go for a park walk or run for some time. When one of the such jogger came back, he saw that his car was or the car window was broken, and he observed that his mobile phone and his wallet was missing. That still can be managed, but the major problem was the thief. He conveniently went into the ATM, and now we all of us know, right? You can reset your PIN. If you have a mobile phone, you receive an OTP and you can reset your PIN. So since the attacker had a credit card also and the mobile phone also, he managed to reset the PIN with the help of OTP, and he withdrew 5 lakh rupees. And by the time the gentleman reached home, it was very late when he realized that this damage has already happened, because his mobile was stolen, so he did not even receive the SMS from the bank, right? So this is the problem, right? So that's why the multi-factor authentication is also failing sometimes if it is not implemented well. Now here there was no mistake of bank. Here there was a mistake of the individual who was conveniently carrying out the or keeping the mobile phone and the wallet at the same place. Had it been a biometric enabled, which is difficult, I know, but had it been an additional layer of biometric authentication, probably this could have been avoided. The case of yesterday only, which we discussed, right? So, in a nutshell, the multi-factor authentication is nothing but we'll also be discussing three types. So, what is called multi-factor, what is called two-factor in just a bit. But why it is holding a lot of importance is because if your password is compromised, which is very common these days, you need to have an additional way to protect your identities, protect your unauthorized access, right? So coming back to the multi-factor authentication, why it is called as a multi-factor, why it is called as a two-factor, okay? And what are the ways through which we can achieve it? So something you know, take an example of what you know. Maybe you know your date of birth, maybe you know the place of the city you born, maybe you know the password, something you know, right? Something you have, maybe you have a card which is given by bank. On the back side of the card, you may have a CVV, you may have a grid where associated with the alphabet, you also have numbers. Obviously, you cannot memorize the numbers, so something which you have, which you can refer. Something you are, which is something on your all biometric traits, maybe your fingerprint, maybe your palm scan, maybe your iris scan, maybe your retina scan, maybe your speech or voice recognition, and so on and so forth. So all these are something you are, right? So something you know, something you have, something you are. Very, very important. So a few examples are given. Something you know could be a passcode, password, passphrase, right? Something you have could be an OTP, which you receive on your mobile phone, maybe the hardware token. Many of you might have used the RSA-based token. Maybe a smart card, that's something you have. The example which I gave you about the grid and the number associated with it. Something you are, we already discussed, fingerprint, iris scan, and so on and so forth, right? So when you talk about two-factor authentication, any of the two are being used for carrying out the authentication. Take an example of the banking transaction. You are asked to provide a password, and then you are also being asked to provide a OTP, which you might have received on an email or on your mobile phone. That's two-factor authentication. Multi-factor authentication, you use all three. So suppose if you are watching the sci-fi movie or the Hollywood movie, you see that the actor comes, walks in, he talks something, so it's a speech recognition. He's having your his facial kind of recognition, so maybe having an additional check. He's also entering the PIN, and finally he's allowed inside the secret facility, right? That's multi-factor authentication. We are using all three, correct? Moving on to the another a very very important so when I say very very important, maybe you would like to double check on your notepad wherever you are writing, is the important concept SIEM, the need of an R, Security Information and Event Management. Why I made the statement that it is very very important, or why I made the statement that it is a need of an R, because as we discussed during an initial discussion, that you are using multiple devices, you are using multiple sources, log sources, right? You are using n number of traffic coming to going to several directions. You have logs in the several different formats, and you have logs in thousands, in lakhs. Something needs to be in place who can consume these logs and provide someone to work on something meaningful. This is a basic requirement these days because of the VUCA world, right? Your transaction, you look at the transaction you're carrying out every day. Look at how many times you're opening your phone. Look at how many times you're opening your WhatsApp. Look at how many times you are checking your emails. Look at how many times you're logging on to the certain applications, either bank application or ticketing application or whatsoever, right? So all these are actually generating logs. And forget about the personal use. If you talk about the organizational use, it is multiples. So the importance of having some solution in place, which is called an SIEM, and the job of is nothing but it captures the logs from the several resources, puts in a centralized repository. Okay, once it is put on a centralized repository, it is being also analyzed in a way, and it is also correlated in a way that if there is something suspicious going on. So let me give you an example. If you have the blacklisted IP which has managed to breach in your firewall, okay, you have a logs which firewall has generated, which has been sent to SIEM. That IP has now moved to your demilitarized zone server, one server, okay, and from that IP you see that there is some suspicious malware is being injected. Obviously the server has logged it. Server has thrown an alert to SIEM. Now that same IP is making a lateral movement. So when I say the lateral movement, it is also infecting the another server within the same farm or within the same VLAN. Again, log has gone from the another server to SIEM. Now SIEM will not wait. SIEM will correlate all the three logs and provide information whosoever is managing the firewall, whosoever is managing the server, or whosoever is responsible for the security. He'll be thrown an alert saying this IP is a blacklisted one, which has managed to sneak into our environment. It has already reached to my three servers. Please take action as below. 1, 2, 3. Maybe the action could say investigate from the IP where it has come from and check whether it is genuine or not. Go ahead and create a firewall rule to block that IP. Go ahead and run the full antivirus scan on the two servers which were infected. So all these will be in the action steps will be given to the analyst or to the responsible person, so that they can chew the information and they can work on it. That's a beauty of the SIEM, and we'll also be talking about the several components of the SIEM and how it is going to be implemented in the SIEM. Before we go ahead further, having an SIEM or having SIEM is not only sufficing the need. Whenever you initially implement the SIEM, there are a lot of false positive alerts being generated. You need to streamline over a period of time, and it gets matured over a period of time. Okay, not necessary that if you have installed the SIEM today and you are immune or you'll be effectively able to work. That's not the case. You also have to put in equal amount of effort to have the noise reduced, right? Moving on to the certain of the feature which we already discussed though, but it helps in collecting the logs from the several log sources. it analyzes it. So, you know, it is very important that the state of the art SIEM solutions are capable enough, AI based, and have a powerful analytical engine which, you know, can work and churn the data, you know, from the several log sources of the different types and provide a very pointed information that this is needs to be done. So that's where the correlation comes in, wherein they add a value. Okay, once the output is given to the SOC analyst with the action to be performed, and then it becomes more meaningful and helpful. With this, SIEM is now being talked about integrating not only the infrastructural components. The SIEM, or the need or the ask from the management, is also to integrate application logs. Let me give an example. If you have SAP in your environment, and if you see, or if you want to say have the alert saying that if the different IDs, say the different SAP IDs are being used on the same host name or same machine, throw me an alert. Why? Because you see that there is no segregation of duty being you know, carried out, or maybe the user ID and passwords are being shared. So say for example, if I am responsible for initiating the purchase request, okay, for say buying 5 or 1,000 laptops for my organization. Now you as my manager are responsible for approving it. But what I see is from the same machine, I have created the purchase request. I borrowed your ID and password. You gave me your ID and password. I entered it, and I only myself approved the purchasing request. Clear fault of segregation of duty. We are failing somewhere here. But these transactions are being carried out every day in every night. Who will monitor? Who will provide me the analytical inputs? SIEM. So if I am integrating the logs with the SIEM, my SIEM will throw me an alert that, hey, this is happening. Why don't you go ahead and investigate? And when you investigate, you come to know that this is what is happening. People are sharing the password. If it is happening for once because the person was on leave, that is still can okay. However, it's not advised. But if it is happening frequently, probably there is something wrong in the process front, right? So SIEM is the one something which can give you a such correlation. And let's see the component of you know, what goes into the SIEM. So you have all the log sources, maybe the security device, maybe network devices, servers and applications, which keeps on giving the logs to your centralized collector. You may have the log source or as a one server from where you can push all the logs to the SIEM platform, or you may have several such collectors, right? And based on the analytical engine or the central engine which I spoke about, it has a lot of features. Okay, it gives you a dashboard. So it has its own algorithm, it has its own rule set. So whatever use cases you defined on the SIEM, it maps, it compares with that rule set, and it gives on the dashboard that, you know, this is what was observed. If you click further, it gives you the clear path from where all it traveled, and you know, till what time it was there in the system. SIEM plays a very, very beautiful role in the event of investigation and in the event of proactive action being carried out, right? So, and finally, you have a database wherein you store your logs, you store your final outputs, say the tickets, and so on and so forth. So we have all discussed, so I'll give it a skip a little bit here. So again, the main brain about SIEM is their analytical engine. So whenever you are pick and choosing the, or whenever you are evaluating the SIEM solution, this is the area you must focus and attention on. Okay, finally, orchestration is also very important. So from like how in the SD-WAN solution, you have an orchestration wherein you can see it graphically, right? What is happening in your network. Similarly, for the SIEM also, it is important that it gives you the clear path of the travel of the suspicious IP what action it carried as it progressed, right? So it's very important for the senior management and also the SOC analyst who are going to work on the ticket to have some visualization of you know what is happening in the network. So there are several steps on how SIEM operates. We have discussed them all. So just give it a read. But yes, again, to quickly run you through. It aggregates the data, it runs its own intelligence, it churns the data, again it alerts, and it tracks also. And somewhere SIEM is also integrated with your ticketing system. So if it is integrated with your ticketing system, it also tracks that so-and-so logs have been, as evidence has been provided, you can go ahead and close the ticket now, right? So this is the entire life cycle of the SIEM, which helps you at a great, great extent. Finally, to conclude on the SIEM front is having the best practices. As I mentioned, your endeavor should be to reduce the false positive, because if it is creating a lot of noise, probably there may not be much of the motivation to the security analyst to work on or to act on those alerts. There may be a thousands of alerts which may be coming, but everything may not be relevant. So that's something very important. And as I said, it gets matured over the period of time. Not necessarily that you implement and you are good to go, right? Again, the feature update is something on the SIEM front as a best practices always is kind of recommended. You have ArcSight, you have Synchronix, you have some tools from IBM, which are the proven SIEM solutions, right? So you may be using some, but the regular feature updates is also something very important you should have. So finally, before we wrap this chapter up, what we learned? Let's have a quick pointers. We learned what is defense in depth approach, right? We understood what is the perimeter security, what is the internal security, what is DMZ, and so on and so forth. We also understood something on known, unknown, unknown, known, right? We understood what were the types of IPS, IDS, how it behaves. We understood the difference between firewall. We understood what are the types of firewall. We also understood there's a basic difference between firewall and IPS, IDS, and so on and so forth. We also understood the importance of identity and access management, how it can create a chaos in the system if it is not managed well, how hackers are just waiting for the IDs to be compromised, and how the multi-factor authentication or two-factor authentication is really helpful, and so on and so forth, what we learned. And finally, at the last, we learned on how the SIEM solution actually is helpful for the security folks or for the infrastructure folks. It collects the logs, analyzes it, and provides a meaningful output so that the person on the ground can work on it. So with this, we conclude this chapter. I truly appreciate your time. Thank you so much for listening to me. I'll see you in the next chapter very soon.